Good morning, brothers and sisters. You know, I think it's easy, especially as Bible school students, maybe for you sometimes to feel like you're one group and the faculty is another group. They're the ones that do the teaching. They're the ones that say what you can and can't do, some of them, and do this and that. And I guess that certain amount is true. But you know what? This morning, I'm just one of you, really. I am. And in what I have to share, I struggle with as much as anyone. And in that, yesterday in one of my classes, we had gotten to discussion about emotions and commitment and things. And my emotions are a little fresh this morning, if I can use that word. I'm not really sure what else to call them, because of some of the examples that I went over to share in this one. And as I thought of what to share, and I'm not complaining, Dwayne, but I looked at the chart of chapel messages. My name was only on there once, which I was thankful for. On the other hand, I just get one chance to share with you in this way. And I was, what do I share? I had one subject, and I decided not to, and I thought I had another one, and it didn't. So thank you to each one of you that have been praying, because I need it tremendously this morning. Just got one chance to share, and I guess I'm going to share something that I wish I could share with everybody in all of the conservative circles that I know of. And I'm going to share it with you this morning, and especially for those of you that are in some of my classes. If you don't remember anything else I say, I would say remember this. I want to talk about unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender is surrender without conditions. There's no guarantees are given to the surrendering party. In World War II, as the war ground on and on, and it started to look like the Allies were going to be able to win the war, the leaders of the main countries sat down, and the one especially pushed that Germany and Japan would be required to surrender unconditionally. They could attach no conditions to their surrender, to their accepting the terms of peace. Absolutely none. And in a way, it ended up pushing the war out longer, because it gave the Germans and the Japanese more reason to fight, because they hated unconditional surrender. And you know, this morning, I don't know if you're all like me, it doesn't just take a German or a Japanese to hate unconditional surrender. You know, those words scare us. It sounds so absolute, so complete, no negotiating. What in the world is going to happen to me if I surrender unconditionally? What's going to be required of me? It scares us as a person. We're afraid to just totally lay down, aren't we? Or I am. You know, and I could tell you quite a bit about a young man this morning that thought he had his life mapped out. Thought he had it figured out. He thought he knew where he could go in life. And he thought he knew what he wanted to do. But the more he tried to do what he wanted to do, the more he got involved in things he didn't want to be involved in. And the more he tried to pull back from those things, the more he spiraled downwards in his life into bondage. And finally, he got to the point that I hope each one of you has. And if you haven't, my prayers to God that you would. Finally, there was no way out for that young man but to go to God and give it all. No other option. No other way. No other place of help. No other thing to save. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord doing, Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You know, Jesus was talking to a group of people very like us in some ways. May I say that here? They had the truth more than any other group of people in that time. They had the scriptures, what there was of it, more available than any other group of people in their time. They had more teaching. They had more preparation to supposedly be able to receive his word. Yet look at what he says to them. He says, it's going to be taken away from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And you know, that's the same danger that I have in my own life this morning. I can have the knowledge without the fruit. And what's the first thing to becoming fruitful for the Lord? Is it not unconditional surrender? You know, I'm so thankful this morning that that young man I told you about decided to fall on that stone. And it's a continued process for him. He keeps on struggling with that. But by the grace of God, I want to keep falling on that stone till the day I die. Let me take you back to the definition of unconditional surrender. It says, a surrender without conditions, in which no guarantees are given to the surrendering party. And you know, on God's part, he has every right to ask that. But yet he extends us one condition. Just one condition that he gives, that if we surrender completely, you know, you and I dare not go to God and say, hey, I require this and this and this, and then I can surrender. We can't do that. But he in his mercy offered us one condition, and that is his love. He promises his love. What more can we really ask? Please turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Notice the words. Can you understand these? He cannot be my disciple. And whomsoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth, whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. And especially take this verse with you. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Whoever of us doesn't sit down and count the cost and come to the place of giving absolutely everything and all that we think we have to God and to Christ cannot be a disciple of God this morning. It's that simple. It doesn't take a lot of teaching to understand that. It doesn't take a lot of theology. It doesn't take a lot of deep thinking. But it takes unconditional surrender. You know, so often, and I think that's right in its place, we like to discuss all the finer details of theology, and we try to analyze this and that. And so often we get caught in these conversations of what can we justify for ourselves? What can we allow? What can I keep for myself? But unless we come to that place and stay in the place of total, complete, unconditional surrender to Christ and his plan for us, it's all a meaningless chatter. It's a waste of time. And to each one of you, have you? And I love young people, and you're the dearest young people. And like I said, one of the hardest parts for me is that I can't just sit down and visit with each one of you, because that'd be the thing I would probably enjoy the most. But have you found the joy that comes in having nothing that you call your own? Nothing. No reputation. No image. Nothing. I've given it all. You know, there's so many things we can struggle with in life. Is it acceptance? Is it fear of different kind? Is it pride? Is it self in all the multitudes of ways it can come? Have we surrendered it? Have we given it up? You know, I think it was one of maybe the first morning, Dwayne mentioned something about potential that a group like this can have. And I agree with him. But you know what? That potential is very dependent on one thing, and that is unconditional surrender. You can only reach that potential as you give that potential into God's hands and allow Him full and absolute control of anything and everything you have, you are, and you can do. I came across a short story here, and it makes the point of what I'm trying to get across this morning, I guess. So let me share this. I don't know who to give credit to on this, but it says a man was walking through an art gallery one day, and he came across this painting, a picture of Christ on the cross. And as he stood and gazed at that painting, he was amazed at the detail, the expression on the face, and it touched his heart. But as he stood there gazing at that picture and realizing afresh what God had really done for him, what Christ had accomplished on the cross, a security guard came along and said, "If you really want to appreciate that painting, get down lower." So he bent over and was looking, and here there was even more detail than what he had realized. And the guard said, "No, lower yet." So he bent over as far as he could and was staring up. And the guard took his light and he shone down. He said, "Get down on the floor." And as he lay flat on the floor and gazed up at the painting, that's where he could best appreciate what the artist had really done. And you know, that's the same. It's only as we come to the place of complete surrender that we can really appreciate what Christ did for us this morning. And too often, my dear friends, we're trying to just kneel down partway. Just give up a little bit. Just give up enough to get me by. Just give up enough to make me feel good about myself, when God is asking me to be totally prostrate before Him, having nothing that I call my own. You know, I've got an advantage on a lot of you, and that is where you are, I have been. And if you're at all like me, when you hear something like this, you can easily think, "Well, I want to, but what's the hurry? What's the rush? Why is it so necessary right now? There's so many things calling, so many things appealing." And you know, we have a tendency to feel a little invincible, don't we? Now, none of you would say that, but down in your heart, you think, "I probably have got plenty of time." Who thinks that tomorrow, in the next year even, that you might face something extremely hard? Most of us, especially in the age you're at, it's easy to be kind of positive and go on, think things will work out nicely. And you know, it's easy to think that way, but God hasn't promised that to us one bit. You know, we don't even know what the short-term future holds, much less the long-term. And the best preparation any one of you can make is to give it all to Him who has given His all for you. And I guess one reason, or one time, that this probably became more impressed upon me than any other time, and probably was honestly one of the hardest times of my life, was as in a church very similar to this. I came in the back doors and fouled up around that side to view one of my close friends laying in his coffin with his young wife crying beside it, with us all having the knowledge that very likely he died without having come to the place of unconditional surrender. He was probably just 3 or 4 years older than most of you here. We just don't know how much time God has given us. In another instance, a lot of you know this couple. also dear friends of mine. You know, it's just a little over 2 years ago. I had the special blessing of being able to be at their wedding and share at their wedding day. 14 short months later, I was sharing at the funeral as they buried their first child. Again, they're not very much older than you all. And I looked into their eyes as the tears ran. And I saw the struggle for unconditional surrender. But this morning I can stand here and tell you, I think they've found it. Have you found it? One scripture yet. Please turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to 8 is what I want to read. But before I do that, let's give you a little history on this. This is Paul writing to Timothy, the one he called his son. And he told Timothy what we have in these verses. And this, we would understand, was the second time that Paul was imprisoned. The first time, at least tradition would have it, he was released. And he would express hopes of that in some of his other writings. But this time was like the second time he was to come before Nero. And he knew it was the end of the road. I think he seems to have that had settled in his heart. And I did some research on where he was held. You know, in Acts we have him there in his own house with his own guard. It sounds like a pretty easy way to be a prisoner. But this time around it was a little different. If my research is correct anyway, he very likely was in a holding cell for condemned prisoners, which in the Rome at that point consisted of a small square, not even big enough to lay down in, with a small hole in the ceiling, maybe about, 10, 12 feet up, just big enough to thrust a body down through. And he was there in this cell with no light except coming straight down, no way to get out except being pulled up through, awaiting certain death. Now, in that context, let's read these verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. You know, we tend to place so much emphasis on who we are, what we have, what we can do. Just all those things that mean so much to us. You know, we're concerned about how long we'll live, how much we'll have, who our friends will be, and what place we'll be able to fill. But you know, whether a life is short or long, whether it's what we consider easy or hard, are really of absolutely no consequence in the light of eternity. Dear friends, every one of us someday, some either awful or wonderful day, are going to stand before the Creator and our Savior. And the only thing that will be of any consequence at that point will be, did we surrender when there was time? You know, I could stand up here this morning and in a prayer ask God to give you an easy road where the flowers grow and where the birds sing, but I'm not going to do it. What's far more important to me, and don't get me wrong, I told you, seeing my friend there at his coffin was one of the hardest things. And it's not near as hard, it's just, in some ways, emotionally, it's just as hard to see your friend suffer. Those that I mentioned when their baby was stillborn. And it's not that I want to see my friends grieving or having a hard time in life. But what's even far more important to me than not seeing them there is seeing them unconditionally surrendered to God's plan for them. What my prayer for you this morning is, a life spent in the shadow of the cross and not partially prostrated but completely surrendered. A life unconditionally surrendered is absolutely in the control of the one who gave his all for us. I'd like to read a song here. I don't know. There's not an author on this one that we know of. It says, Lord, I make a full surrender. Lord, I make a full surrender. All I have, I yield to thee. For thy love, so great and tender, ask the gift of me. Lord, I bring my whole affection. Claim it, take it for thine own. Safely kept by thy protection, fixed on thee alone. Lord, my will I here present thee gladly, now no longer mine. Let no evil thing prevent me, let no evil thing prevent me blending it with thine. Lord, my life I lay before thee, hear this are, this sacred vow. All thine own I now restore thee, thine forever now. Blessed Spirit, thou hast brought me, thus my will to thee I give, for the blood of Christ has bought me, and by faith I live. Show thyself, O God of power, my unchanging loving friend, keep me till in death's glad hour faith and sight shall end. Glory, glory, hallelujah, I have given my all to God, and I know I have full salvation through the precious blood. Let's stand for prayer.